Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, and no doubt continues now. This is the broadcast for January the 18th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is Hour 202 and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the peaceful, restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. You should also know, ladies and gentlemen, that we are preparing the people for the Savior Jesus Christ to return. It's all about repentance. It's all about making God the center of your life. Let the Lord prevail in your life. It's all about what do you do with your time and your talents and your energies. Are you building the kingdom of God here on the earth? I pray the answer is yes. Welcome to the broadcast. The good Dr. Scott Bradley with me to preserve the nation, his collegiate series, his website, freedomsrisingsun.com. Welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you very much, and looks to me like it's a banana belt here. It's mid-20s. I give you a little weather report sometimes, and it feels like, hey, mid-20s, we're kind of on the uptick.
Yeah, in the middle of winter, it's getting warm for y'all up there.
Oh, I'm sure.
All right. This is an interesting headline. There's a representative. Her name, I think, is Ayanna Pressley. She's a Democrat of Massachusetts. She said that Republicans engaged in chemical warfare by not wearing masks. Pressley, believe it or not, took to Twitter to condemn Republican lawmakers. She said, quote, the second I realized that our safe room, you know, when they breached the Capitol on the 6th, as soon as I realized that our safe room from the violent white supremacists, mob included, treasonous, white supremacist, anti-masker members of Congress who incited the mob in the first place. I exited, she tweeted. She was furious that more and more of her colleagues are getting the cocoa now. So she literally says that, hey, those who don't wear masks are engaging in chemical warfare. Blatantly talking about members of Congress, calling them white supremacists, calling them mobsters, saying they've committed chemical warfare by not wearing masks. We have gone to a new level, Dr. Bradley.
No, I don't know this woman, nor how old she is, but for some decades now at the universities, we have been basically spinning the propaganda that you can kind of agendize and make anything mean anything through the way you spin your words. And the insanity of this is just beyond measure. I mean, we just try to get people, for example, to read the words of the Constitution. They're in plain English. Those plain English words are known. Their meanings are known. They can only mean what they meant in the day they were written. And yet they're spinning these things constantly. And honestly, you could come to the point where you say, well, anybody that disagrees with me is absolutely a violation of some kind of organic justice on earth, and they should be eliminated. I mean, these people, I don't think they know any ends as to how much they might spin their agenda. And it's just a travesty and a tragedy. And I guess we could take it off on a tangent here a little bit about, you know, what are we, like 42 weeks into 2 weeks to flatten the curve? You know, I mean, the stuff is going to happen. You're going to get it if you're going to get it. It's some 80% of the people don't even know they got it. And of those that do know they got it, they range from mild to more severe based upon underlying health issues. And 99.7% on overall course get over it without any problem.
I mean, and based on what they eat and drink and stuff like that, too, well, it's sure, been proven if you do the right things, it's less severe and you weather it much more easily, right?
And there's also very, very, that's available data, but they keep censoring it off the networks, but data that says, hey, we got treatments that are very successful. This idea of having to take a vaccine that has all sorts of, well, it's not really a vaccine. It's a medical device almost. It's a prescription that they say for the way it's going to be handled. But the way it's being done is, number one, has never been used on human beings. And number two, it's had really, really bad side effects like death with animals when they've been vaccinated and the mRNA, the messenger RNA, gets incorporated into your system, and it kind of supersensitizes, those that receive it in the instances we know of with animals. And the next time they get a whiff of the pathogen, the animals all died. I mean, it's like, some have called it a binary agent. You get injected, and then a secondary infection comes, boom, gone. And it's like a weaponized binary, agent. And it's like, well, okay, so all of these things that are happening, and the faultiness of the testing system, and here's the
but
thing.
But other than that, it's not so bad. Come on.
No. But this is a concern to me. I guess you don't know many people that don't wear masks that go down and get the test. I mean, they're not going to feed the beast. That just is their mentality. Those that are wearing masks are getting the test, and by golly, they're the ones that are getting the disease. And I have to think, whoa, wait a minute. Is there a correlation here? It's just strange. The people that don't wear the masks seem to be the healthy ones, and those that do get them are the ones that are running down and getting the test, and they're saying, by golly, you've got it. And that adds to all our numbers. And they're using, the quote-unquote cases, which I think are very questionable, to basically drive all of these lockdowns. I have read so many studies lately. There's one out of Sweden here that I just saw yesterday that they've never locked down their schools. They've always kept their schools going. They don't wear masks in the schools, and they've never lost a child to the COVID. Never. In all the entire nation, I think they've had a total of 15 kids hospitalized. Every one of them recovered. So there's no deaths, and there's no disease, and they're basically going on with their regular everyday lives. And studies like that never get, brought forth, and people don't give them any credibility. It's all the old and awful people that are waiting to the death spiral to hit. And it just seems to be that it's not just a narrative, it's a script. You must fear. You must doubt. You must be contained and controlled. And pretty soon we've got rid of habeas corpus, and we've got the economy being destroyed, suicides are up, the domestic abuse is up, alcohol abuse is up, the obesity rate is up. There's other sicknesses and diseases that are being untreated, everything from heart attacks to gingivitis, because people are not. By the way, I read a study the other day about increased gum and tooth decay based upon the mask wearing. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff out there, but there's only one script. And that script is the only one that's being given preeminence. And so, you see this congresswoman, person, whatever she is, I don't know. Anyway, here it is. I don't know what they're doing today nowadays. But at any rate, they have spun this into something that everything has to be panic-driven. I've almost come in some churches to think of the church of the COVID, because the Savior's name gets mentioned so rarely, and they worship the false gods of physicians, scientists, and pharma companies, and instead of the true and living God. I mean, it's almost like we have replaced all truth, all hope, all divinity in our lives with this fear, doubt, and all that kind of stuff.
Reject it and stand for what's true. By the way, there's a group you should know about. It's by a guy by the name of Dr. Pierre Corey. And he spoke before Congress, and he's created a group called Frontline COVID Critical Care Alliance. And it's flccc.net. And he believes ivermectin, a very inexpensive drug, can solve the coronavirus. He tested before a Senate congressional committee on it. Of course, they mocked him and ridiculed, and the mainstream press never heard about it. But anyway, flccc.net if you want to check that out. Now,
you know, it's,
yes,
ivermectin I mean, there are other approaches, including better nutrition, as you point out, you know, with nutritional supplements. I mean, it's just astounding to think that we're exposing ourselves to what this new so-called vaccine, but isn't really, and I don't believe that it could really pass muster, never been double-blind placebo-tested. The placebo they did use in many was like, for example, meningitis, which has its own downside. So here's the deal. If you test it against a meningitis vaccine and you get a dozen deaths out of meningitis vaccine and a dozen deaths out of the tested vaccine, you go, oh, it's no more dangerous than a placebo. Well, people don't understand the placebo they tested it against had a history, and it has on the vaccine itself, it tells you it's dangerous for these reasons, you know. It's just astonishing to me. It hasn't been given an honest thing.
What we should be doing is, you know what, getting plenty of sunlight, plenty of sleep, take vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc supplements. There's a few other things we could take for nutrition, too. And really make sure you get enough sleep, make sure you reduce your stress, and then to get the disease, but have the effects be so mild, but yet you develop natural antibodies and you create eventually over time what's called natural herd immunity. That would be the best solution to the problem. But I speak and no one's listening there, doctor.
I've gone over my 10 points of good health my grandma used to teach. We'll have to do that if you're interested. We've talked about this months ago, though.
Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All you got to do, ladies and gentlemen, get plenty of nutrients, plenty of sleep, plenty of water, and jettison sugar, and you'll be off to the races. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. His grandmother had 10 keys to good health. I know we covered them a couple of months ago, but let's quickly highlight those. And then I want to talk about what's going on about capitals across the country. Doctor?
Oh, well, okay. I mean, you know, this is common sense stuff that I think that, my grandma was born back in the 1800s, so, you know, they had some of it left over that back then. Okay, wisely guard your health with zealous care. Number one, eat simple, good, wholesome, nourishing food and drink plenty of water. Number three, dress appropriately for weather conditions to keep warm and not become overexposed. Number four, enjoy the outdoors air and participate in wholesome exercise and activities. Number five, avoid unnecessary crowds and close, poorly ventilated, overheated facilities. Number six, get plenty of rest and sleep. Number seven, avoid late hours. Number eight, stay home in the evenings and enjoy the association of family. Number nine, do not take or partake of harmful substances. Number 10, draw nearer to God and keep his commandments. Simple, simple things that, you know, kind of go by the wayside. And all these other comorbidities that maybe you're killing people off might not have overtaken you over the past 20 years, if that's the case. You know, your whole health may still be better if you'd have been practicing something like this for, you know, your whole life.
Well, they sound like little things, but they were so common sense and a given back then. Now we take them for granted. The getting to bed early, the plenty of sleep, the spending time in the evenings with your family and loved ones. These are things that relate to your health and your immune system that really haven't been studied enough because they say, well, wait a minute, they're not nutrition-based. Well, maybe not, but they bring forward chemicals in your body that are good. Okay,
and they reinforce the health.
They suppress things that are bad naturally by the love, the acceptance, the reducing of stress. I could go on and on, but there's a lot to this. It sounds so simple, and it is, but yet it's a very complex solution. When you focus on God, family, and country in a positive way, you change not only your health, but your complete outlook. And it becomes kind of a synergistic reality. One benefits the other. Pretty soon you have less stress, so you have more energy. You have more energy so you can care for your country. You can care for your country so you feel better about life and you care for your family. And then what I mean is these things go round and round and round in a positive spiral up solution that people don't know. You get enough sleep and you wake up cheerful. Because you're cheerful, you get along with your family. Because of that, there's less divorce. I mean, we can go on. Then you turn to God, and pretty soon you understand the meaning of life. And what I mean is this is it sounds so simple, but these synergistic 10 items together have much more synergistic effect, much more power and ability to make a difference than they are individually when they're put together.
You know, it's interesting. I keep starting to call it a narrative, but it really truly is a script. And you can go from station to station, channel to channel, and you get this fear, doubt thing. For example, one of our local radio stations here, every afternoon, evening, puts on an oh, ain't it awful review of all of the statistics, of all the things we really need to be fearful of in terms of this COVID stuff, okay? And it really is a fear-based kind of thing, and that's a death spiral the opposite direction of what you're talking about, Sam. And I go to the scriptures, and I read so many times. There's hundreds of instances in there where we're told not to fear. And it's funny to me, not funny, it's tragic, I guess, that this is not an idea, it's a commandment. The commandment to not fear, and it's a faith-based commandment, I have to admit, and it's one of those things that works, but this commandment to not fear, it's a commandment. And you say, oh, well, I don't commit adultery and I don't steal. Well, okay, so why do you find it so easy to break
on.
This other one?
But hold on, that's good that you don't do those things, but...
Yeah, I'm not trying to encourage otherwise. But if you fear, you're violating one of God's directives, and it's very important. And by the way, we could get off on this tangent too, but a lot of people that say they don't steal, well, they take, you know, Pell Grants or Cash for Clunkers or whatever, where you're taking the wealth and the earned income of other people that the government has decided to share with you, and it's because they redistribute wealth.
And I disagree with the socialist nature of this. However, in the coronavirus, when the government's taking away your ability to make a living and taking away, your source of freedom and liberty, right to work, whatever terms you want to call it, free enterprise system or whatever, it's a little bit hard for me to say people shouldn't receive something. At some point, the government has an obligation if they steal value from you. Than to replace that with something else. And so it's a little bit of a blurred line in the modern reality. That does not mean that I'm justifying socialism. I'm just making a point that when they take away from you and you have no ability to do for yourself, what else can you do? It's a very interesting dynamic.
It is an interesting dynamic. We need to get rid of the scoundrels that have seized the reins of government. And I think it's in all parties largely, it's almost universal in terms of them engaging in this socialistic behavior. And by the way, there's some, you know, the founders pled against parties, and they entered parties fairly early in the 12th Amendment, I think, had something to do with that, not purposely, but But at any rate, you know, you get the Whigs, for example, that came in the 1830s, and they had proven to be kind of outmoded and rejected by, I think they went out of business about 1856 or something like that. So say 1833 they started, they died 23 years later. And there's some that are saying that, some have said that the Democrat Party has lost its way and no longer has validity and it ought to go out of business because it's basically become the Communist Party. And the Republicans have lost their way because they're similarly perverted in their approach. Many are thinking that if they get many Republicans to go along with this impeachment effort in the Senate, in fact, Rand Paul said that it will absolutely eviscerate and destroy the Republican Party. It will go away because they will no longer be valid anymore in the minds of the people. And he's saying you get 17 Republicans that go along with this in the Senate, this impeachment trial thing. He says the party's dead.
Yeah, here's Rand Paul's exact statement. I have it queued up, ready to go. It says this.
Oh, good.
Okay. Senator Rand Paul, GOP leadership will destroy the Republican Party, trigger mass exodus if they vote to convict Trump. Very interesting statement. I think he's right as rain.
I do too. And here's the deal. We could spend a great deal of time on the impeachment process and how this is a fire ready aim kind of thing. We have people that are they're incapable. They just are not clumsy at governance. They are incapable of governance. They currently sit in the highest offices of our nation. I'm just astonished to see what they don't understand about an oath that they took to a document that has complete plain English meaning to every step of it, and they think that because they hold office that they are justified in doing whatever they want to do, and it's not true. And the thing that's very interesting, let me just touch on this for just a second.
Let me highlight this before you touch on this, though, Doctor.
Okay.
It's not true by fact. It is true by precept, though, because we, the people, don't hold them accountable. In other words, if we keep electing them, when they do that, we make it true. And I only bring that up not to disagree about it, but to highlight we have a responsibility as well. And if we shirk our duty, then they fill that vacuum of power, wrongfully so. You know, we need to blame ourselves. But it shouldn't be true based on the supreme law and based on their oaths of office. But it is true by word and deed because of their oftentimes inaction or action that violates their oaths of office, right?
Well, it is true, absolutely, what you're saying. But that does not carry out the fundamental purpose of government as defined within the Declaration and fulfilled within the Constitution, which they take an oath, which, according to the Founding Fathers, imprecates the vengeance of God if they don't obey it. Okay, so let's go back to the Declaration. You know, this idea of God-given rights, and the purpose of government is to secure those rights, and they derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. Okay, and that, you know, straight out of the Declaration, they derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. Okay, now people say, well, we elected them. We gave them the consent. No, we did not. The consent happened at the ratification of the Constitution, where they said, okay, the purpose of government, secure God-given rights. Here's a document that secures those. It's a limited power delegation. It's separation of powers. It's checks and balances, all those things we talk about all the time. And the people said, we will be governed by that document's principles, and anybody that takes office has to take an oath to uphold that. So that's when the consent was given. At this point, when the people violate the oath, of course, you point out correctly that we, the people, have a responsibility to intervene and say, no, wait. We did not consent to be governed by this type of government and these types of people, and we need to go in and correct it. And we, the people, are at fault because we keep selling our votes.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll give you an example to make the point in a second. We've got a lot to talk about. Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
The Secret Service is in charge of event security at Biden's inauguration, but there is a wide variety of military and law enforcement personnel involved, ranging from the National Guard to the FBI to DCPD, U.S. Capitol Police, U.S. Park Police. About 25,000 members of the National Guard are being vetted by the Federal Bureau of Investigation since arriving last week. Expecting open borders as promised by President-elect Joe Biden, several caravans numbering in the thousands are on their way to the United States from South America. Biden transition officials tell migrant caravans now is not the time to come to the U.S. Chinese state media is reporting 12 out of the 22 workers trapped for a week in an explosion in a gold mine are alive as hundreds of rescuers seek to bring them to safety. The Xinhua news agency said Monday a note passed through a rescue shaft Sunday night is giving rescuers hope. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature is fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic. And believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway. But as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
A lot of politics this week in D.C. USA Radio News Jeremy Scott has more.
The president-elect reportedly plans to sign several executive orders in his first 10 days in office. According to a memo from his chief of staff, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina addressed some of those moves on Fox News Sunday Morning Futures.
If the first thing he does is go back into the Paris Climate Accords, that's a disaster for the U.S. economy. The accords basically give China and India a pass on their carbon emissions. And how do you enforce a national mask mandate? So if that's what he's going to lead off with, he's going to have a tough rollout of his presidency.
President-elect Biden is also expected to sign executive orders to end the travel ban on predominantly Muslim countries, halting evictions and student loan payments during the pandemic, reopening schools and businesses, and immediate economic relief to working families. The memo also states Biden will take action to address climate change and expand access to health care. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
USA Radio News.
So Rand Paul blatantly says, look, if the Republicans truly convict Trump, it will be the destruction of the Republican Party. I agree that he's right. They'll trigger mass exodus. Let me give you a couple of headlines to make the point. They've taken this to extreme levels, ladies and gentlemen. Listen carefully. Pennsylvania Lieutenant Governor, John Fetterman is his name. He says this, quote, saying election is rigged is not protected speech. So I can't even say the election's rigged anymore. It gets worse. Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, demands federal funding to de-radicalize white supremacists and conspiracy theorists. So now she's looking for funding to de-radicalize conspiracy theorists and white supremacists. Harvard students are now petitioning for Trump-allied graduates to lose their degrees, writes John Brown. Country star John Rich says that conservative rockers are being muzzled by the industry. Joe Manchin says, that's Representative Joe Manchin, says that, hey, Senate should consider removing Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz under 14th Amendment. And these people are getting crazy. Absolutely crazy. And, you know, I don't know what we need to do about it, but listen carefully. London Bank threatens to close accounts of customers who don't wear face masks. All right. Big Tech's purge of conservatives changes speech debate. In reality, it's a power grab, folks. And Americans must recognize this muzzle may be used against them, real clear politics. Conservative news outlets need to be deplatformed, says Alex Stamos, the former chief security officer for Facebook. Do you want to respond to all that, Dr. Bradley?
Well, if we had about 15 minutes per topic, we could touch upon them lightly. But let me just say this about that. We have radical communists, and whether they call themselves social democrats or something more gentle, that's really where they're going with this Marxist drivel that they're involved in. They're completely eviscerating the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Let's just talk about the First Amendment very briefly. I want to come back to this first one on here about this no law respecting the establishment of religion, because we ended, I think, on this last week, and this is the threat for the destruction of a religious liberty is pending. So it's upon us.
It is serious. It is real, and it is unfolding before our very eyes. We have a front row seat, sir.
And the fact of the matter is, and I do want to come back to this, kind of not lead off with this, but I'll mention it because it's first in the First Amendment. But just to tell you how to the forefront this is, this amendment to the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 that we talked about, that is to gut the religious liberty protected, vouchsafe, if you will, in the Bill of Rights. Kamala Harris was the sponsor of the bill in the Senate the last couple of congressional sessions. And you know, there's a Kennedy that's sponsoring it in the House, but it has not been put in yet, but they will be, I assure you. Senate 593 is what it was last time, and House Bill 1450. And these are intended to restrict dramatically your religious liberties in the workplace and in the public market, if you will. Or maybe we can come back to that in a minute. But this idea of abridging this freedom of speech or the press. Now, the people need to understand that this has been perverted in the last 60, 70, 80 years in regards to what this free speech and press is. They've turned it into lewd speech and perverse art and, you know, nude dancing and all that kind of stuff, saying this is all protected First Amendment stuff. That's utter bunk. Complete, total, and utter bunk. The Founding Fathers put the First Amendment there to assure that the people would be able to speak about political issues openly, freely, point out threats, point out inconsistencies. And by the way, we've been going this direction a long time with the federal election laws, where they shut down conversation. As you approach the election, you can't talk about certain things. And the election laws also favor incumbents, and those that bring out the things that they've done that were wrong actually get muzzled by these things ultimately and finally. But the whole idea of freedom of speech and press had to do with political speech and press. It has nothing whatsoever to do with these perverse things that they've started to protect, and they hold sway over almost every aspect of our lives now. But the idea was, you know, you can't be punished. You can't be, you know, shut up for saying something about what's going on in political process, because it's there to protect us from being completely muzzled by this. And this is where the communists that are running this country right now are going with this idea of the right of the people to peaceably assemble. That idea is completely contained anymore in the way they're responding. Utah just over the weekend had hundreds more military personnel and police forces than showed up. Now, I don't know who put this demonstration or gathering on down at the state capitol. I've never heard of them before. I don't know who they are, and that makes them suspect in my mind for provocateurs. But the fact of the matter is, they had hundreds more in show of force against anybody that showed up for that. This idea of petitioning the government for redress grievances, that's part of the free speech and the idea of the press and assembly. You need to be able to bring these things forward. This was the whole basis of the First Amendment. The religious liberty stuff is absolutely essential in order to stay a free nation, to recognize our God and to worship him, and that brings strength and stability to a nation. But everything included in not only the religion, but also the speech and the press and the assembly and the redress of grievances, it's all political. And for them to be trying to shut these down at this time is an indication of where we're going with this country. And let's just go to the religious liberties thing for a second. That it, what was Senate 593, that was Kamala Harris's bill. She had 33 senators that were co-sponsoring. That's a third of the Senate, for crying out loud. The H.R. 1450 had 215 congresspersons that were co-sponsoring it. These have a huge footprint. And I would suspect with the, the giddiness of them having Kamala in the vice presidential seat, we'll find that the new person that brings this force has immediately a lot more support. But basically what it does, see, I never liked the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 anyway, because basically what it is a kind of a legislative approach to what the First Amendment assures across the board. The spectrum is protected. And when they start trying to legislatively, well, in this case and in that case, and we'll do this and we'll do that, what it ends up doing is constraining the broadness that's found in the First Amendment. And what they're trying to do, now they say there is this Freedom Restoration Act of 1993, was to make certain the people retained their religious liberty. Well, it's already retained in the First Amendment, but okay, so they attempted to do this. And now with these new bills...
Well, it's really only retained if it's within the hearts and minds of the people.
That's true. It's very true. But here's the deal. What they're trying to do now with these amendments is say, oh, whoa, no. Religious liberty, it impinges upon all these other rights we're creating, these gender bender things and all these things that are happening, you know, these girls and boys bathrooms and shower rooms and all this kind of stuff. And the idea that, oh, you've got to have in your health care program an abortion option for anybody that works for you. And they're saying, no, just because you have a religious belief against these systems or in favor of that or whatever, no. These bills would say you can still worship in your institution, basically. And it's only five pages, by the way. There's a few ands and does and all this kind of stuff just put in there with a few little phrases that gut the bill and basically say in the public workplace, marketplace arena, you will not retain these things. And again, I really truly believe that many of the religious institutions have been very, very, very short-sighted in their approach to this, and that they have not stepped up and said, no, these individuals retain this. If you're a business owner and you don't want to put an abortion pact into your health care program, this bill would say, yeah, you got to. You've got to do that, and you've got to serve your community. Oh, let's say you're a baker in Colorado that doesn't want to do a gay cake. Well, you can't do that anymore if this bill happens. And that's where we're going with this bill. It's going to take it and give the institutions a little respite, but they'll lose it ultimately. And they're going to take it from whatever you're doing in the rest of your life.
All right, I made a point last hour, Dr. Bradley, that I want to speak to in the next segment. I'm going to put all other issues off for this point. I want to get your take on it. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The Strategy of Heaven Revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
All right, what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is your First Amendment and religious liberty. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. And I made a statement last hour that I want to, I really believe it fits here, and I want to just kind of seed this and then let you rock and roll with it, Doctor, for the last segment. This is really important. You know, you've got a gazillion fault lines in America and around the world. You got male against female. You got Republican against Democrat or party against party. You got right against left, conservative, whatever. You've got, you know, the genders at war. You've got people of age, you know, different ages at war. They've got every fault line under the planet you can think of. They even say, oh, reject the left-right paradigm. It's us against the swamp. And, you know, some of the fault lines are truer than others. You know, race fault lines, sex fault lines, everyone they can find. But, you know, I was talking to some family members yesterday about how the middle ground is going away. And it's becoming more extreme, either righteous or wicked. And I mentioned that I really believe that eventually all these fault lines, to mask or not to mask, to vaccinate or not to vaccinate, whatever, all these fault lines are going to eventually give away to one great fault line. Are you a Christian or not? Will you deny the Christ or not? And as for me and my house, I will not deny the Christ. And I know that it seems like, well, that's not really the case now, Sam. I understand, but I'm telling you, eventually all these fault lines will morph into that big fault line. They're setting the stage with all these other fault lines as they destroy America and turn us into a fighting, satanic, not Christian nation. Nations divided against themselves can surely not stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Eventually, it will be the Christians versus the non-Christians. That's where they're going. And the reason that I say this, because the socialist, communist, godless agenda of government is godless. And the United States of America was uniquely positioned as a God-fearing nation. We don't look to government for success and solutions. We look to God. And other nations didn't have that reality check to it, that God is the author of our liberty. And that made America unique. Okay? And I submit to you that what they're doing is destroying America over every fault line. But eventually that will become the ultimate dividing fault line. Write it down. Remember who told you first. And these very legislative bills that you're speaking of highlight this eventual reality check. Doctor, I turn it over to you.
It is a broad spectrum of subject, and it all goes back to our faith-based desire to please our eternal Father, our God. It's interesting that the communist approach to things, we've talked about this often, is conflict-based. It's the Hegelian dialectical approach to things, where you throw things together, you get a turmoil going, and something else comes out. And that's their approach for implementing their order of disorder, if you will. And it's interesting to me, I go back to, I'll bring this back to the Satan-God, you know, dialectical, if you will, in a moment. But if we go back to the French Revolution, their intent was to seek the destruction of Christianity. Their intent was to abolish private property. Their intent was to eliminate the family as a social unit. Their intent was to abolish existing governments. Their intent was to establish a dictatorship or the proletariat, okay? That's basically, you know, their working class. They didn't call them a proletariat in those days. But that is basically everything that the intent of communism is talking about today. You know, it will seek to destroy every single thing, the foundational principles and we can review that at great detail if you wanted to, but the fact is, this is a rehash of everything they've been doing down through the ages to destroy everything sacred to us, everything virtuous, lovely, of good report, praiseworthy. These things are in the crosshairs, if you will. And when you get a Kamala Harris and Joseph Kennedy III, I mean, the senator and representative that have been sponsoring this movement on the religious thing, they're basically seeking to implement the foundational things that the Illuminati brought forth under the French Revolution and what Marxism has brought forth throughout the entire world. Now, again, I really believe everything that is good and noble and wonderful and wise originates with God, and those things that uphold and sustain that are godly things. Those that detract from and seek the elimination of those kinds of things is really satanic in its origins. And so when we have these schisms that are happening across the nation and really literally across the world, it behooves us to look carefully at where something is taking us. And by the way, that's one of this, I don't know if you want to call it a skill set or a tendency or whatever in America that we have lost in recent decades, I will have to say. The ability to connect the dots, if this, then that. And we seem very unwilling and unable to say stuff that, in my opinion, is right before our very nose, to say, well, I'm going to do this. Like, for example, the people that have wanted the implementation of martial law here in the nation. We could talk about that in great length, but their position is we've got to do it to save the country. No, we don't got to do it, because that violates and will lead to things that will ultimately destroy the entire country. I mean, could Caesar be trusted, or could Napoleon be trusted with martial law when they destroyed the things that were foundational, that we had strayed from the anchor, if you will, of the Constitution? And they can't see what's at risk when they do these things. And that is happening right now with little tiny incremental steps. They're not so tiny anymore, but there's a communist, an Italian communist, that was back in the teens, 100 years ago, and in the 20s. His name was Antonio Gramsci. And he was absolutely a devoted communist. And he went, when the Bolsheviks had solidified their power in Russia, he went there to celebrate. And what actually, he nearly got put to death, because the Bolsheviks at the time, the Leninist Marxist guys, wanted it out of the barrel of a gun immediately, and they were going to implement it by force and all that kind of stuff. And he had a different way. He had a slice at a time kind of attitude. And he wrote many volumes while he was in prison in Italy as a communist fomenter. He wrote many volumes about how to implement communism a slice at a time. Where the Bolsheviks wanted to do it, out of a barrel of a howitzer, he was going to take it through legislative action. And that's exactly what is happening in America today. We're using a Gramscian approach to implement the Marxism that Marx and Engels brought forth and canonized. But as I pointed out, if it was there with the Illuminati, well, it was there with the League of Just Men, and they ultimately called themselves communists. But it was there before the Illuminati. It's been there. It's been satanic in its origins. And it is an opposition to all of these sacred things that we have, the idea of Christianity. They want to get rid of it, private property. You can't be free if you don't have private property. And we can go back even to the Federalist Papers and talk about this, where they say that if you control a man's ability to provide for his family, you control the man, and that's what private property allows. This idea of eliminating the family. I've got in my book a little review of the Sarloff anarchists that attempted to get rid of the family. They communized, I guess I could say, all the women in society in Russia after the Bolsheviks took over. No man could own a woman, and I'd say to you, if you think you own your wife, you really got another thing coming. But the fact of the matter is, no, they broke the tie. They said any member of the party could make use, that was their term, of any woman in the country. And if you weren't a member of the party, you could pay a fee in French francs to the good of the party, and you were in that same boat. It destroyed society. The wheels were falling off society as they destroyed the family. And they had to back off on this because society just was completely falling apart. But these things have been there from the origins. And I think you've accurately assessed it, Sam, when you say, well, all of these schisms that are happening, ultimately and finally will say, do I follow the Prince of Peace, the master, or do I follow his counterfeit diabolical, and that's, I guess, goes without saying, it's by definition, satanic approach to things. And so we've got to be principles-based in everything we do. We've got to learn to connect the dots. We've got to say, okay, if this happens, then this could, then this could. Oh, my goodness, look where they're taking us, down this royal road to socialism and ultimately to communism. And that's where we are in America today. And we need, as for me in my house, you know, we've got to make those kind of solid, unvarying commitments that we will not stray from our Prince of Peace, because ultimately and finally, those kinds of choices are going to face all of us. And so long, I would pray that so long as there's a band of Christians to sustain and dwell in this land, that God will have mercy on us. Now, remember, if you look back at this Abrahamic thing and Sodom and Gomorrah, and he gets bargaining, hey, what if you find 50 good people, or 40, or 30, or 20, or 10? God's merciful. If we can put together a coalition, if you will, of people that are willing to abide by the covenants that have associated with this land from the very beginning, if we can say, okay, it's a scripturally based kind of covenant land, and if we can do that, I think we can save the land. If we can't do that,
we can do that, and we will do that. We may not save the government.
Intention.
We may not save the government from falling, and we may not make things perfect, meaning there will be a lot of unique changes for sure. But I promise you there will be a band of Christians who will not deny the Christ, who will stand and keep the commandments of God, and will usher in the Savior Jesus Christ's return. That's a promise. That's our effort. That's our goal. That's our desire. And I, for one, will not deny the Christ, Dr. Bradley.
Well, I agree, but here's the deal. I think that, I mean, they couldn't find enough people in Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, it was kind of like, oops, that didn't make the grade. And they had to be removed out of that. And that may be what ends up ultimately happening in America, where people have to be somewhat separated.
They've got to remove the covenant sacred communities, and that will eventually be the case and be necessary to prevent violence, to keep peace, to create honorable societies, most importantly, the ability to worship freely and pray to God. Eventually, they'll deny your ability to worship, as they've already done in California. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. You got 40 million people in California. That's over a tenth of the nation, literally under assault, can't worship. And then across the country, you've got very restricted worship reality checks. They're just getting started, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm telling you, these other fault lines are just designed to create anger and hatred, to let Satan reign. And eventually then these other fault lines will fall away. And it will be, will you be, follow the Prince of Peace, or will you deny the Christ? And those will be, that'll be the ultimate fault line. I'm telling you, it's coming. Write it down.
Well, 7,000 had not bended the knee in ancient Israel, and we've got let's be part of the 7,000 that never bent the knee, but let's find the rest of the 7,000, or I hope it's a lot bigger number than that. But we've got to do that as a gathering of people, and to righteousness, and that's what will save the nation. It truly will. So,
yeah, I don't know how to get more positive than that, my friend. That we can and will do it, and God will help us.
I truly believe so. Go read 1 Kings 19 about, you know, how they haven't... You know, I got 7,000 of you folks out there that you don't know about that have not bended the knee. That's where we got to be.
We will gather those who will not deny the Christ, who will stand together and protect God, family, and country. We follow the Prince of Peace, I remind you. Don't go to your capitals around the country or to Washington, D.C. It's nothing but betrayers and disaster there, ladies and gentlemen. Get on your knees and repent before God and stand up and go to work to defend God, family, and country. LovingLiberty.net, spread the word for Sam and Dr. Bradley. God save the Republic of the United States of America.